the invitation to come was a welcome invitation because I love to be with you and it's good to see your faces. It's also a welcome invitation as a part of a challenge that I, as homework I was given as a part of a pilot program through the Indiana, through the Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light Project, which is a organization working to bring our faith and environmental action together in the state of Indiana. And so they had their first training of ordained clergy persons and invited us to be a part of the national preach-in. And the national preach-in happened in the last few weeks, but I don't think there's a bad time to bring this topic to the forefront. So that's part of why this environmental focus is coming today, but it also fits with our Lenten theme when we think about God's love being brought to us in his acts of creating both the earth and Jesus. Let us just take a moment to pray. May the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, dear God. Amen. Desecration and recreation. You were spared that reading of Isaiah 34. Just before the hopeful, inspiring passage just read, this chapter is really one of the more depressing texts in the scriptures. It's a dichotomy these two scriptures placed next to each other, but also a perfect pairing for our Lenten journey. 34 summarizes as desecration and 35 as recreation. These texts are not about the dying and rising of Christ, but the warning of God's dying creation and the possibilities of new life with our Creator. We could focus on another dichotomy today, forgetting and remembering. God created and it was very good. Remember? Then, over time, desecration, moving from our source, and when denial and separation is no longer deniable, God's children seek hope and reconciliation with our Mother Earth, with all living beings, and with God. And recreation is in motion. Maybe we don't need to talk about climate change. It's overwhelming. Yet it seems so distant and separate from our daily rhythm of life. Climate change is still controversial in some circles, and as people of faith, we're already doing the work of loving God's people, tending to the needs of the poor and embracing the brokenhearted. Plus, we're here for inspiration, to worship God. But we are here and looking at Hebrew scripture texts that resonate today with our struggle to care for the earth. And that, too, is relevant. Our care of creation is relevant to our way we praise and thank God, to the way we tend to the needs of the poor, and to how we help the weary people reconnect to God through the beauty of what God's hands have lovingly created. But somehow, we've forgotten that we've forgotten. And if you're at all like me, I push back from scriptures of a judging and vengeful God, particularly the one featured in Isaiah 34. Let's be honest, though. Whenever we invest in creating something beautiful, we might get angry if it's disrespected and destroyed. And God is, too. Instead of focusing on a day of judgment, let us consider how we're being called to active accountability, especially here in the U.S. as the vast consumers of the energy resources over and above any other country. The truth is that our boundaries have been crossed and a wrong needs to be corrected, and we are charged with care of God's creation. And this reminder seems to be in order. In this day, we have evidence in front of our eyes, statistically significant, scientifically researched, mounting up, and we're being faced with remembering what was meant to be. The sentence need not be devastation, but a call to creativity. We are people of the living, creative God, and we can remember, we can put together what is broken and provide the hope of restorative justice. Maybe it was in the 70s for you, maybe it was earlier on, maybe later on, but we became more aware as a country of industry and corporate pollution in the 70s, or what we call point source pollution, where we can map directly the source of a violator of clean air or water, for example. The evidence of health impacts, especially upon the poor located nearest these sites, mounted. Maybe like me, you've become more aware of your personal consumption patterns and the patterns of all the systems we belong to at work, church, school, and our community. But it's difficult to see that we might have any kind of real impact. But stuff matters. A 2014 EPA report reports that the stuff we buy and use is the single largest contributor of greenhouse gas emissions. In other words, because of the impact of production and extraction, Americans use more resources to get stuff than any other way that we use our energy. Our energy usage impacting greenhouse gas emissions goes 29% for provision of goods and 13% for provision of food, which together is 42%. And then housing, HVAC, and lighting accounts for another 25%, and transportation for another 24%. Obviously, our individual and corporate actions are not insignificant. So stuff matters. But conversely, as a group of people of faith, we also suspect that materials and stuff don't make us complete. They don't even make us happy. The Brethren are known for choosing a simpler way of living, even if the advertisers would challenge this commitment. Even so, we find ourselves heading out for getting stuff. And we could really question with each online and store purchase if we are forgetting what we most need, who we most need. We could look, as Heather challenged us. Research shows that stuff doesn't equate with happiness, and once basic needs are met, there's enough time to enjoy leisure, stuff does not equate to joy. The Children's Health Initiative Program is an active, intentional effort in Allen County to address the well-being of our children, defined widely as birth through 25. This is a multi-sector effort launched just last year, and I'm a representative on the Committee on Spiritual Health. In our most recent meeting, the national consultants facilitated our very theologically and religiously diverse group of leaders to identify factors that are getting in the way of spiritual well-being as we seek to match up with all these other leaders in the community, in the justice field, in social services, in health and wellness, in so many different factors so that we can make a difference in the community. We came up with a huge list, but had to prioritize just three things. Core values and a search for meaning were among the top, and everything else that rose to the top of the list, we could fit into the category of relationship. Trusting relationships with others, a sense of connecting with God, overcoming a sense of isolation, understanding unconditional love and respect, and being able to offer loving respect were all highlighted, and they're all about relationship. And not surprisingly, relationships, connection with God, and living out our lives with purpose and respect are likely key for us at any age. Yet, somehow we remember that we've forgotten. We, as a people, have forgotten before. But we are not only connected to one another, but to God, who crafted the earth intentionally and with love. This God also propelled Jesus into the world as an intimate, intentional act of love. And when we recall the stories of Palm Sunday and walk with Jesus in the weeks to come through his journey to the cross, we may scratch our heads once again and wonder, how could the people, his people, have allowed his execution? How could they allow this? How can we allow this? How do we allow this pillaging of the earth, the desecration of forests and mountains, water and air, the decimation of entire species? Largely in the same way, we unintentionally forget to be intentional in our relationship with the manifestation of God that we love so much in Jesus and in his handiwork given to us in this world. We forget how profound the love of God is for us, and we forget that God gives us the power of making a difference. I have lots of scientific statistics, and I'm happy to share those with you after service. But in condensing those down, there's a just beautiful man of faith that was one of our main presenters at the Interfaith Power and Light event, and he's a physics professor at IU, Ben Branson, and he gave us so many good food for thought, and I thought, oh, this is going to be just so depressing. But instead, he made it so accessible, talking about the changes in temperature, that 2014 was the hottest year on record worldwide, and the 10 hottest years in history have been since 1998. The 10 hottest years in history have been since 1998. He also shared with us some of the statistics from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that the atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide have increased to levels unprecedented in at least the last 800,000 years. The CO2 concentrations have increased by 43% since pre-industrial times, primarily from fossil fuel emissions and secondarily from net land use, and before the industrial era, CO2 levels in the atmosphere were in the numbers 260 to 280 parts per million. Now they are 400 parts per million, half again as high. And climate scientists estimate that the maximum safe level was 350. Still, somehow we forget that we have remembered. Trish Toll of the Louisville Presbyterian Seminary, preaching, and she's a preaching professor who works with Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light, says, "It's difficult to be spiritually healthy when we are living on a planet that is sick. Yet when we take moments for restoration and rest, for prayer and play, we do remember that relationships revive us and give us meaning, that connection with nature restores our soul. And we can notice with fresh eyes how we are intimately connected to animal, forest, earth, air, and bodies of water. Take a moment to remember when. Can you recall a time that you felt God's presence in nature? Or maybe a time where faith and science met as an explosive aha, a miracle of God is in all this for you. Take a moment either silently to reflect and be there, picturing that place or time. And if you're comfortable, turn to a neighbor and share that. and you can share it loud enough that you give others confidence to talk. You're so quiet. I give you permission to be loud. Our faith communities are so important to our youth. But one of the gifts that we give to our youth is that we send them to camps and we give them outdoor experiences. And when you look at the number of people below 18 that have their transformation, they're coming to Jesus, so many of those are in outdoor settings. And how many of you were able to recall some time when you were outdoors and you had this sense of God being with you, or that God is real and big? I'm not sure I see too many hands down, or maybe any. So I'm saying I see lots of hands. I'm not sure that anyone said no. So it's good for us to remember in our busy days of getting in our cars and back into our houses and into buildings and into meetings and on the screen and on the screens and on the screens, that nature really still matters and is a way for God to express love to us. If you forget the value of outdoor spaces and the miraculous resources of God's earth, you can ask one another for reminders, just like you did in this little moment. Ask the youth who love Camp Mac, those renewed from walks, those committed to bicycling and gardening among you. Remember the ways that you already recycle by giving food a good home to people who need it, and so much more. Let's not only look to our conscious memory that we can recall, but also reach into the memories of our ancestors. As my family prepares for an 8-week International Sabbath rest trip, I'm reading lots of different things, and one of my books that I'm really into right now is The Telling Room. Michael Paternity tells his story and the story of Ambrosio, a cheesemaker in rural Spain, who, quote, was a link to the past in this digitized time when the past had become somewhat irrelevant. Or, as Ambrosio called it, people had the disability of memory. And he considered it to be the blight of modern man, unquote. Ambrosio remembered the taste of the family cheese, something that was known for every family to have their own cheese in the rural Spain area. And he made it his life's mission to reclaim and figure out how to connect his family once again to the flavor of his ancestors, even though the recipe had been lost. Even though our way of connecting respectfully and responsibly with the earth may seem lost, recalling the way our ancestors have lived lightly on the earth may help us to reconnect, not only to our duty, but to the very love of God made known to us through such intricate systems of beauty and the gift of Jesus sent as a gift of love. We recall how we are a small part of a vast interconnected web of life through time and space and species. We can remember beyond our conscious knowing or experiencing. And somehow we remember that we do remember. For memory is to remembering as knowing is to wisdom. And with this wisdom, as part of the web of life, we can't help but respond. Our relationship with the earth does matter. Our actions and inactions, our habits and mindset. And when we remember our deepest relationships with God, the natural world, and loved ones, we can't help but be engaged in a new way. So why is it important for us as people of faith to remember? When it comes to the issue of climate change, our response is a matter of international environmental justice. Nations that have contributed the least to carbon pollution have already suffered the most from its effects, such as the Philippines, where typhoon after typhoon is occurring, and Syria, where drought contributed to the country's political destabilization with tragic effects. We, as people of faith, care about international injustice. Why do we remember? Because we respond because we care about justice at home. The poor among us can least afford increasing utility bills, energy efficiency changes, and disaster cleanup. You, Lincolnshire, have a rich history as a congregation of reaching the poor and vulnerable, and being active environmental stewards is one more way to care. Our faith teaches us concern not only for the here and now, but for future generations, whose quality of life will be robbed if we continue business as usual. We owe our religious faith to ancestors centuries in the past, and we were taught, if you went camping as a kid, that we need to leave the campsite better than we found it. We love our children, so let's leave this campsite better than we found it when we began. There are opportunities to reach your legislators. You can call for the defeat of the Keystone Pipeline or encourage the state to keep off the agenda Indiana House Bill 1320 that limits financial benefits of solar and alternative energy, punishing those who would like to use them. But most of all, notice your choices. David Radcliffe, that you invite annually from the New Community Project, might suggest practicing meatless Mondays or even more. Eliminate bottled and canned drinks, opting for tap water that's healthier anyway. I know my ban on straws that has been preserved for about 20 years has been broken with the preschooler in my household. So I know it's not easy. And sometimes doing something that's convenient and uses some packaging also helps us to be more centered and sane at times. So please don't take it as a guilt trip if you pick something that you need to do short term. But being mindful might help us to also feel like we live a simpler life that's just a bit closer to God. So thanks for the ways that you already consider energy consumed when you're tempted to consume more. Keep up the good work of being aware of your use of stuff and housing and transportation choices. And we will all rejoice when we keep crafting time to be deeply connected to our ever-creating God and our imaginative, creative companions here who can find possibilities for living lightly with the earth and one another. We are a part of a vast web of life. Let us see one another with the love and respect that God sees us. We are connected, and restoration is possible. It is coming. And in the words from Isaiah 35, be strong, do not fear. God is here. Amen.